We aren't going to be able to fit much more audience in here, but that's all right. First of all, thank you for your work with me this week. You have made this such fun and such a creative enterprise. We've got something here that I was not sure on Monday we could get to, but we've got further than I thought we could get, and that's really remarkable. It also has just been a great deal of fun to think with you. So thank you very much for that. Here's what we're going to do. First truth, curtain is in 20 minutes, which means we are going to zip through what we have together one time. And if we find anything where the wheels fall off, those of us who are doing this will look at each other and say, how do we fix this? And at that point, please help, but recognize curtain is in 20 minutes. So we don't have time to reconceive anything, and we don't have time to do more than nudge. So any suggestion more than nudging? That's for next week. I, however, will be in Minnesota. Okay, when we actually play this, I will stand up and welcome the audience, and I will tell the story of the exile very briefly so that they have the context that you all have and have some idea why these scenes matter. It'll be a very brief intro, but it'll be an intro. After that, I will sit down, and after I sit down, you two will take your place. And once you've taken your place, I will stand up again, and we'll begin, shall we?
Before we start, we'll need someone to drop the fabric from the top.
Very
good. So we'll need two volunteers to take these ends and just let them go and kind of drop the fabric out this way. And then I'll need one more to push this kind of fabric, and it's going to kind of cascade, hopefully. So just three people who are up there or would like to go up there, that'd be great. You're the rivers, so let's say this is, which one do you want, this one?
Let's see. That one is the Tigris, this
the
one is the Euphrates.
The widest Tigris, Euphrates. So when you hear your river's name,
Tigris is third and
Euphrates. Tigris, Euphrates.
Yep.
So third and fourth.
How far down are they going to go?
All the way. Yeah. So you're just going to let go both ends and let it fall.
So we won't be able to see.
So that it ends up looking like you want it, right? Okay?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, my son.
Should I film also the welcome?
No. Yes, film the welcome, but don't film the run through right now.
Okay. Yep. I just wanted to make sure.
Good. Okay, let's. I have done the welcome and I have sat myself down. Stand thou up, that I and thou meet in single combat. When Tiamat heard this, she was like one possessed. She took leave of her senses. In fury, Tiamat cried out aloud to the roots. Her legs shook both together. She recites a charm, keeps casting her spell, while the gods of battle sharpen their weapons. Then joined issue, Tiamat and Marduk, wisest of gods. They swayed in single combat, locked in battle. The Lord spread out his net to enfold her. The evil wind which followed behind, he let loose in her face. When Tiamat opened her mouth to consume him, he drove in the evil wind, but she closed not her lips. As the fierce winds charged her belly, her body was distended, her mouth was wide open. He released the arrow, it tore her belly. It cut through her insides, splitting the heart. Having thus subdued her, he extinguished her life. He cast down her carcass to stand upon it. The Lord trod on the legs of Tiamat. With his unsparing mace, he crushed her skull. On seeing this, his fathers were joyful and jubilant. They brought gifts of homage, they to him. Then the Lord paused to view her dead body, that he might divide the monster and do artful works. He split her like a shellfish, and he split.
Yitkara, Yitkara, Shmevala. בעלמה דברה כירכותי, וימליך מלכותי בחי יכון וביום יכון, ובכעד כל בית ישראל. יתגדל ויחרש שמח רבה.
In the day when Hashem Elohim made the earth and skies, no bush of the field was yet on earth. No plant of the field had yet sprouted. For Hashem Elohim had not made it rain upon the earth. And there was no groundling to till the ground. But a stream would well up from the earth and water all the face of the ground. And Hashem Elohim formed the groundling, soil of the ground. Hashem Elohim formed the groundling, soil of the ground. So from the soil of the ground, Hashem Elohim formed the groundling. And blew into its nostrils the breath of life, and the groundling became a living being. Now, a river goes out from Eden.
To water the garden.
From there it divides and becomes four stream heads.
The name of the first one is Spreader.
That is the one that circles all through the land of Havilah.
The name of the second river is Gusher. That's the one that circles through all the land of Cush.
The name of the third river is Tigris. That is the one that goes east to the east of Assyria. And the fourth river,
that one's named Euphrates.
Now Hashem Elohim said, "It is not good for the groundling to be alone. I will make it a helper as its counterpart."
So Hashem Elohim caused a deep slumber to fall upon the groundling, so that it slept. Hashem Elohim took one of its sides and closed up the flesh in its place.
Hashem Elohim built the side, taken from the groundling, into a woman, and brought her to the groundling.
The groundling said, "This time, she is it. Bone
from my bones, flesh
from my flesh, bone from my bone,
flesh from my flesh. She shall be called woman,
for from man she was taken.
Therefore, a man leaves father and mother and clings to the woman corresponding to him, and they become one flesh."
precious in my sight and honored, and I love you.
Okay. It is now 12 minutes. Okay, we need to solve the Euphrates.
Euphrates.
Yes.
Okay,
if it catches in this wire, can she get pinned over to this one and then let it come down, or I can take it over to that one?
How about bringing it back here, and we'll take it up this
way. I think all four corners.
That could be nice. What do you say, Liz?
Yeah.
Okay, there, and then have someone bring it that way. I like that. Jewel, would you do that? When this big blue thing falls down, pick it up from the ground and just walk it around the circle until it runs out, and then come back here. Okay? Thank you.
And should I film the river's fall?
Or should
I film the river's fall, or should I film right there?
Film right there. That's where the real interest is.
Okay. And so, when the rivers actually do come down, should I put some on them for a bit and then put it back off? And then
I would let the rivers not be part of that, because otherwise we'll make the audience seasick someday. So just stay there. That's where the real interest is.
Yeah, that's part of the paper.
Okay. Anything else that we need to patch in 5 minutes? Yes?
I was sorry to see God leave the scene.
Oh, yeah?
I felt that God should do something off the side or something, but I thought God remained in the scene.
I think...
He created it.
Yeah, I think... who do you think is God? Lauren. Lauren, the first one who cradles?
No.
Yeah. I see. I was looking at my page. I didn't see that, so I was all confused. I do that a lot. Stay there until the applause.
Yeah.
Or kneel. Does that work? How does it work for you getting down on your knees?
Well, that's not a problem.
Okay. Somehow I was guessing that would be true.
Do you want us to put a pillow down right there for your knees?
No.
Let's do the last picture with the embrace, the line, and God kneeling. Let's figure if that is going to work. Now. Ani, when we were blocking before, didn't we have this picture reversed?
Because we, when we grew to dance, we came over this side.
Oh, that's right.
Remember, and then we did it on this side.
Yes, because we want it to shoot that way.
To share the action.
Yeah. So let's do the embrace over there. And that means you'll have to walk around.
Yeah, she should come on the camera side.
And then the embrace.
What's the last three lines?
And they became one flesh, or you want the whole three lines?
The last three lines.
Therefore, I didn't know if you, okay, sorry. Therefore, man leaves father and mother and clings to the woman corresponding to him, and they become one flesh.
Can we say that together?
Not all of us, no.
No.
Okay.
You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the kneel is good.
Okay, how about if you...
And that's terrific. And that's terrific. Very, very good. Everything you did is very good.
Can I take the curtain call? I'll
just take it over.
Perfect. Perfect. Great idea.
You're
really good. She's a natural. Anything else? We now have 3 minutes to patch it. Anything else? Quick.
I don't know if everyone knew that.
I guess not. Lauren is...
She's not here, so I'm probably right.
Oh, okay. No movement during Kaddish.
Okay.
And only when Kaddish is done, beat, beat, her words then create your movement.
Okay.
If Lauren won't be here, or?
I don't know.
Okay.
If she shows up, will you tell her that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we want, was it okay
to have Leah sit that close to the edge? Because we had it in a little bit, but.
I like him. Yes, okay. Set the picture with
it. So when I'm lying here after Kaddish spoken, you come and sit here and then pull me in.
Okay.
So that there's more room for folks to get.
That felt right.
So do you need your glasses?
Yeah.
No, I don't need glasses.
Really couldn't stand, keep standing. You know, they shut me up, you put me down. It's good.
I know, I kind of almost left him, sorry. It was just,
no,
and then,
don't worry about that. It's my job to get out of the way.
What do we feel about a final curtain call or acknowledgement of the audience?
We need to do that.
Because
can you craft it?
Jack and Herta and Jordan and I are already here with the four. Why don't the other people who have spoken or played just come and stand up on the circle facing out?
And could we just turn what clockwise
turn
to
clockwise.
Acknowledge everyone?
Let's do it right now.
Okay.
Final position.
So, Jordan, you're here.
And for this,
and Jack is
as
here.
Soon as everyone starts
what's going
to
happen,
to take a bow.
Jack and I are heading.
Go up and do what they do.
We're going to go and take a walk out like this. Jack's hand like this. And then it's just like that.
Now,
and then,
up here.
Yep. And Leah, maybe you should sit on the other side so you can be right there.
Now, up under the
and everyone
circle.
Clockwise to the right.
Hold hands of Leah. Or Caleb. Will there be room for all of us?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. There's always room.
Yeah.
And then we take a bow, 1, 2, 3, look at your toes. 3 steps to your right. 1, 2, 3. Your toes. 3 steps to your right. And by that time, they should be exhausted of
coffee. Okay, shall we ring the bell?
Let's ring the bell.
Caleb, you're lucky you're still alive. I jumped out of my chair twice.
I bet.
Don't do that. So don't be mad at it. He presses. He gives that moment of like, ugh, this is gross. I get up and run.
I was thinking of
someone screws into
interrupting
you and
doesn't. Right. Yes.
There's a short
line.
get a ridge right up there.
Yeah, so both, especially my flash book.
That works.
And all these things actually.
Yeah, I get it. Lawrence, you're excellent.
Turn, make that make a turn. Yeah, make that turn, yeah. So you.
It's just such fun.
So, but I forgot that. I'm a little worried about our videos, but this time.
And just for reference, the sight lines are better there than here, so. A little bit ago, I talked to the people who have been meeting with us night after night, working on this, playing with it, and I thanked them for being a wonderful audience. I want to thank all of you, and I want to thank Holden Village for being and providing such a fascinating occasion in a place where I can come and think with bright people, and we can all think as hard as we're able. This has been a great privilege and a great deal of fun. We have something to show you tonight, something that we have worked and thought and talked and argued and played with for an entire week, which, since we are going to perform something for you, means we are doing this with the rawest of prep ever, but with some of the most creative contributions ever. And it has been a delight, and we wanted to show you what we're able to do after just a week of thinking and working and playing and trying. A bit of background, especially related to what Fred has been doing mornings. This is a story that comes out of exile. We're going to tell you two stories in particular. And the first one that you're going to see is a violent and brutal story out of exile, an exceedingly painful story out of exile, the Babylonian story of origins that the Jewish community encountered in exile. The Jewish community that was hauled off to Babylon, hauled off to exile, found itself wrapped in Babylonian culture, wrapped as in a smallpox-infested blanket. Everywhere they turned, there was something that could kill them. There was no cure. The only question was, how might you counteract the contagion? One of the most powerful parts of that contagion came in the Babylonian origin story, because it was played annually in the streets of Babylon. You could not avoid it. Children saw it, old people saw it, everyone saw it. And on one of the days of the festival, they played the story of Marduk and Tiamat. We will very shortly play that story for you. You need to know that what we're going to show you is not simply a miming of the story. But what we are doing is embodying the conflict of the story in bodies that you might painfully recognize. I am very sorry that the pain is so easy to recognize. With all my heart, I wish that I lived in a world, I wish we all lived in a world, where the pain we're going to show you was so foreign that you looked at it and said, I've never heard of anything like that, how could it happen? But unfortunately, what you're going to see is something that has happened to someone that you know very well. God forbid that it's happened to you. The pain is real. And after we've shown you that pain, embodied in the Marduk and Tiamat story, we will show you the response generated by the Jewish community in exile. The response that they created, crafted, I say some brilliant grandma crafted it to save the lives of her grandchildren. We're going to show you the Jewish response in the Genesis 2 origin story. Again, we are not simply miming the action, we are embodying the tensions, the conflicts, the resolutions. Thank you very much for coming, and thank you for the privilege of working with all of us together. This has been a great deal of fun. Stand thou up, that I and thou meet in single combat. When Tiamat heard this, she was like one possessed. She took leave of her senses. In fury, Tiamat cried out aloud. To the roots, her legs shook both together. She recites a charm, keeps casting her spell, while the gods of battle sharpen their weapons. Then joined issue, Tiamat and Marduk, wisest of gods. They swayed in single combat, locked in battle. The Lord spread out his net to enfold her. The evil wind which followed behind her let loose in her face. When Tiamat opened her mouth to consume him, he drove in the evil wind that she closed not her lips. As fierce winds charged her belly, her body was distended and her mouth was wide open. He released the arrow. It tore her belly. It cut through her insides, splitting the heart. Having thus subdued her, he extinguished her life. He cast down her carcass to stand upon it. The Lord trod on the legs of Tiamat. With his unsparing mace, he crushed her skull. On seeing this, his fathers were joyful and jubilant. They brought gifts of homage, they to him. Then the Lord paused to view her dead body, that he might divide the monster and do artful works. He split her like a shellfish in two. He split her.
Yitgadal, Yitkarash, Shmei Rabba. Balma divra kirhute, Yamnit malhute, Mikhay Khun, Ruvyom Khun. וחיי בכל בית ישראל, יתקרם, יתקרש, שמי רבה, אמן.
In the day when Hashem Elohim made the earth and skies, no bush of the field was yet on earth. No plant of the field had yet sprouted. For Hashem Elohim had not made it rain upon the earth. And there was no groundling to till the ground. But a stream would well up from the earth and water all the face of the ground. Hashem Elohim formed the groundling, soil of the ground. But a stream would well up from the earth and water all the face of the ground. And Hashem Elohim formed the groundling, soil of the ground. And so, from the soil of the ground, Hashem Elohim formed the groundling. And blew into its nostrils the breath of life. And the groundling became a living being. Now, a river goes out from Eden.
To water the garden.
From there it divides and becomes four stream heads.
The name of the first one is Spreader.
That is the one that circles through all the land of Havilah.
The name of the second one is Gusher. That's the one that circles all the land of Cush.
And the name of the third river is Tigris. That is the one that goes to the east of Assyria. And the fourth river,
that one's named Euphrates.
Now Hashem Elohim said, "It is not good for the groundling to be alone. I will make it a helper as its counterpart."
So Hashem Elohim caused a deep slumber to fall upon the groundling so that it slept. Hashem Elohim took one of the groundling's sides and closed up the flesh in its place.
Hashem Elohim built the side taken from the groundling into a woman and brought her to the groundling.
The groundling said, "This time, she is it. Bone
from my bone, flesh
from my flesh. Bone from my bone.
Flesh from my flesh. She shall be called woman.
For out of man she was taken.
Therefore, a man leaves father and mother and clings to the woman corresponding to him. And they become one flesh."
"You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you."
Something that I have fallen in love with in Sioux Falls. For some reason, the Unitarian Universalists love to have me, a sacramental Lutheran, come out and talk to them three times a year. And what I love is you don't get to talk to them unless you're willing to sit for a talkback that's twice as long as the sermon or longer. They got that right. We should build that into liturgy, anyone who's in a position. Now's the time. What do you want to know? What do you want to ask anyone who put this together? What do you want to think about?
I love the picture that out of this destruction, rebirth happens, and that it happens in such a beautiful way, and that even in that rebirth, there's still a splitting and a branching off of sorts that come back around in that splitting to create the whole again. The imagery was just lovely.
The grandmas that told this story in this form first were geniuses. If you want a functioning definition of God's inspiration, what the grandmas knew to tell in this story, if that isn't God's inspiration, I don't ever need to apply that term to anything we've ever heard of.
I've never thought of the creation story as response. And it's a healing response.
Yeah. And that seems assured. And the things that Fred was talking about, all of the creation language that shows up in 2 Isaiah, it's there because it's here, it's because it's there. And if you track, the images are weak. We got to about a third of the images, y'all. There's way, way, way more. And it is all, if you read 2 Isaiah with all your might, and then troll through Genesis 1 and 2, you don't have to go any further, you're going to catch fish of every sort you ever, ever, ever thought. Because it is the same response.
Fall behind.
Yeah.
I thought it was very interesting how to embody the story, we had a plurality of God. Mm-hmm. And that community creates the healing. That I thought was interesting. We had several figures that embodied God, or Hashem, Elohim.
And you could decide that was because I'm a latent heretic and I made him do something that was dangerous. Or you could decide that it has something to do with the fact that the Hebrew word Elohim is a plural. Or you could decide that it has something to do with the fact that in order to speak truly about God, you can't ever have just one metaphor. You can't have any images, but you can't ever have just one metaphor. You need as many metaphors as you're capable of making. Very strong argument made that one of the gifts to the world through Jewish faith is the vigorous metaphors used for God. Because, so say the scholars, the condition of aniconicity created the need for verbal vigor. That means they couldn't make a statue, so they needed the words to do everything. All of the artistic energy was put into words. And so God picks up metaphor after metaphor after metaphor, including male and female. That's the least of it. Dry rot. God is even that. All of those metaphors are necessary. And therefore, we needed the physical metaphors of each body to get done what God is doing here.
I have never heard about this story before.
God!
That was really good.
I've never heard about this story before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's a really good
one. Don't tell you the little thing again at all, and that may look good.
And why not? This is really good. Any other questions? Anything you want to poke at? What did you notice? What caught your eye? Yeah, Jewel.
I would say that how they reflected their eyes to each other.
Yes.
With the man and woman.
Yes. No? Yeah. That is my favorite moment in the entire thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Your sense, my sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
The thing that I noticed tonight, and I've seen this. But you were reading, and then you jumped in, and you had such a shocked expression. Was it to be
That's because
like,
she shocked me.
Was it to be like a return to interpreted like the Jewish families were saying, we're not going to let our children hear this story anymore. This is what we want you to learn. This is what we want to teach you.
And the important answer is, what did it seem to you where you sat?
Like you said, enough of this. We're going to have something that's healing. I'm going to tell you a story that is our creation story that is a healing story.
The other important answer is, you might well have done this with just my voice. I got a great voice. And Carolyn said, we're not doing this with just a baritone. And she crafted the interaction between us, so.
That was,
or we both did.
Yeah, but.
I didn't hear what you said, I'm sorry.
That was really good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then how you came back together and interacted in a healing way too.
That was hers too.
All beautiful. I commented about that because that was new. We didn't talk about that last night at all. That was a surprise. That was fun.
We went and sat and talked, and Carolyn said, "But then we gotta, then we gotta, then we gotta." And I've learned long ago, when you're working with brilliant people, you say a lot of, sure. That's my greatest gift. I work with bright people, and I get to do that. Yes?
I read. Oh, go ahead.
All the multiplicity of metaphors and then the two of you's narrators switching roles reminded me of Toni Morrison's book, Beloved, when Baby Suggs, the character, takes people out to the clearing and she preaches to them, but in that section, the men are crying, and the women are dancing, and the children are laughing, and then all of a sudden, all of them switch their roles of who's crying, who's dancing, and it reminded me of this experience of all the different metaphors and the changes of voices and all.
That's really nice. I didn't think of that at the time, but yeah, that's a really good overlay. Given a month to work on it, I bet we could weave that text in. And then everything would start popping. There was another voice over here.
I was just going to say, I thought it demonstrated so clearly that it's not sufficient to simply say no. So you stopped the violent voice, and that was a huge relief. But it's still insufficient until we've got a yes. An alternate story.
Revoice, reword. Revoice, reword.
Yes.
Real.
Yeah.
This might take it a different direction, but obviously there are a lot of people who would sit in here and claim this is heresy. Mm-hmm. And I'd be curious to know how, obviously you've had experience with people who would understand Genesis 1 and 2 as absolutely literal. How does this help them? Do they run out the doors, or does this open up avenues for them to understand what story means in the Old Testament?
Here's where I'm stuck with my limited experience. I'm one guy, I live in South Dakota. But I've done this a lot, and I've done it with student groups, I've done it with adult groups, I've done it with groups like you. I've done it a lot of places. My troupe has performed this a version of this, the same sort of flow, but not the same pieces. Lots of places. And the usual response is something like, I thought I wasn't going to like it, but now I see how rich Genesis 2 is. My fundamentalist students tend at the end still not to agree that there's two separate stories, but they see that we agree that the story is life-giving in a way that they hadn't imagined, as you said. And that, I think, is a great gift. That allows us to look at the story and love it together. Then we can argue over coffee over the rest. But once we love the story together and see that the story is a response that intends to raise life out of deep death, once they see that even a lunatic like me agrees with them on that, then we can find each other and talk. That's my experience.
The heartbeat upon life was awesome.
Mm-hmm. I almost got rid of that. And then Jack said, we gotta have it back, and Sarah, of course, or Liz always knew that we needed it, so, yep.
That was the first time that I had done it with any music whatsoever, and it brought a whole new layer of dimension for me, just, yeah, I, there are no words. I mean, it's music, there aren't words, but.
I was really strangely moved. To me, I wondered why am I responding this way, and I don't really know why. I have something's forming, but the ash, the dirt and ashes on Ani's forearms were just so powerful to me. And it's where becoming, you know, being created out of the earth and so forth is. Even that I can turn into abstraction and intellectual stuff, but when you have the dirt and the ashes on your forearms, you're raising them up, it was just like, boom, it hit me so hard. And then another thing is to have the child say, God's very good, just floored me. It was just absolutely beautiful. So, very well said.
Yes. And the peace with the soil. Last evening when we were improvising this, I knew we needed someone to cradle the dead body, so we got someone to cradle the dead body. And then Liz said, I brought some soil and we'll do something with that. At which point I said,
Sure.
Because I could not figure out what it would be. And then she did it, and same thing.
Yeah.
Which I've learned to be really quiet when people have ideas, because they're way better in mind.
When I first saw her come up with the bowl and the pitcher, my first images were of a Eucharist, but it wasn't quite right. Mm-hmm. But then it became almost a baptismal images.
That's what I was,
and that whole
too.
New birth.
Yeah.
And then to have that new birth be the earth.
Yes.
Was
what's a dying and rising.
Yep. That. You're good.
These are more than stories of origin, I'm sure. They're meant to describe the world in which we live.
Yeah. Which is the piece that is always most interesting and most difficult. This way of working, I think, when I go home from the theater, I don't stop thinking about what I saw for months. Theater is magic, theater was magic, theater always will be magic. The story, I'm a sucker for theater, and I think about it forever. I think maybe everyone is a little bit. When the story's done this way, you think about it a while. The question that's going to matter is just that one. If this is an origin story that says how are things? Who is it that needs cradling? Who needs to be washed in the earth? Who needs people to surround them and hold them? Who needs a child to wrap her arms around them and say, you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you? We ripped that off from Fred. We just thought of it. He ripped it off from God, so it's okay. But when you said that again this morning, we were sitting there thinking, oh.
I love that you had an adult cradling her in death, and a child cradling them in life. It was, I just felt like all of a sudden I saw 20,000 paintings just come to life in a different way, you know, just.
Yeah.
But there's this imagery and innocence.
Yeah.
And this imagery in the knowledge that this person who had experienced the death of their beloved and saw them reborn and transformed, and then the child is the one that's holding at the end and doing the honor. It just, wow, it was amazing.
And I would say that when the God helped with them, women to the woman and the male come together,
yes.
That shows them the cares, you know, when they show, you know, how they, how surprised they are with that, you know?
Yes. Isn't that surprise fun?
Mm-hmm.
And it was so delightful.
Uh-huh.
Because they were filled with delight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That the flow of that scene is one of my favorite parts of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And did you hear the little laugh around?
Mm-hmm.
Because that laugh was as delighted as they were. The laugh saw the faces. You can't see faces like these two react with delight and not also react with a delighted laugh.
Mm-hmm. It was a very interesting experience between the first piece and the second piece, starting like the beginnings of the first and the second piece, because I was totally alone, and I just had to just be like, oh, for the first piece, I was like, okay, like this is it, like here I go, da 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 da, and then, you know, we did the whole piece, and then the second part, I was sure that the audience couldn't even see me, and I was just like, wow, I just have all these people around me that, like, it's just the physical, tangible experience of alone versus community, and the thought of here I go, and then oh, here we go, you know.
I thought God was bait.
That's good.
That's great.
Yeah. You found your calling. I mean, is Herta a great god or what? other reactions, other things you saw or heard?
I like that the god was female.
Yes. Well, if the images are insistently all around the metaphorical scale, if you do not include female imagery when you embody God, it is heresy. It is counter-biblical. And it's not just the explicit images. There is a word for the love that God has for creation. The word is racham. In Hebrew, words make meaning by having cousins that help them think. Racham has a cousin word, which is rechem. Rechem means womb. If you look up in old standard lexicons, they'll tell you that that means it's love like twin brothers have that shared the same womb, which sounds desperate to me. And it also sounds like whoever wrote that had never seen twin brothers. I had friends when I was a kid who were twin brothers, and they loved each other with ball-peen hammers. This is the word for God's love for creation is the word for the love that I saw on my wife's whole being each time she carried a child that I hadn't met yet, but a child that had stood on her bladder on plenty of occasions, and she had learned to love, because you can only love someone who stands on your bladder. The name, one of the really fascinating names for God is El Shaddai. Some of you may know this. I'm heavily dependent on Phyllis Tribble and a zillion other people here. But El Shaddai is translated in most English translations as God Almighty. But of course, since El means God in Hebrew, Shaddai should mean Almighty, right? Well, it doesn't. It means, they tell us, the God of the mountains. And so like mountains are mighty, God is mighty. That's really good. Except it's not the word for mountain. At most, it'd be the word for foothill. God of the smaller than the big, but you know, sort of large. This is going to be a weird theology by the time we're done. But the more you look at it, Shaddai isn't even foothills. It's sort of like low rolling hills. And scholars say it appears to be a form that shows a remnant of an old dual form. In Greek, you can have a singular, you can have a plural, and you can have a dual. Singular is one, plural is more, and a dual is things like yoke of oxen or twin brothers. Hebrew shows some duals still. And Shaddai, some scholars say, appears to be an old remnant dual. So thou, the name means God of the two low rolling hills. And if you haven't got it yet, I got it a lot more obvious. It's God the nursing mother, because Shaddai is used as a metaphor for the breasts of a nursing mother. So God longs to nurse God's people? No kidding. Even El Shaddai tells you that. One of the things that's interesting is that Shaddai, as a name for God, is used heavily in Genesis and heavily in Job. But in Job, Shaddai is used as a name most most commonly by Job's friends, who come to tell him that if this thing happened to you, God must be punishing you for something really bad. At which point it appears to me anyway that there is an argument going on about whether El Shaddai comes from shad, which means breast, or shade, which means punishment. What if Genesis appears to read it as God the nursing mother?
This might be interested in this to sort of support that, and it comes from Gary Stanzel, who teaches it. You know him?
He's my teacher.
Oh, really?
In undergrad.
All right.
Yes.
Okay, am I your teacher? No.
Yes, I'll play me too.
He traded places with me back in 78
yes.
for an interim at St. Olaf. Anyway, he said something in his, he did a study of John, and he said that the word grace in the prologue in Aramaic sounds like Hana, which is the word for the cry of the mother camel when the calf is taken away from it to be weaned.
I remember Gary doing that.
Grace.
Yeah.
You know, and I hadn't thought of that for a long time. I didn't mention something, but it does fit into this thing where grace itself, you know, comes from the cry of the mother as the child is weaned. I do.
I remember Gary saying that years ago.
Yeah.
I completely forgot it. Thank you.
It's nothing profound, but I'm just wondering if Peter can write us a song about loving someone who stands on your bladder.
I already missed the kidney one.
I had it ready by the concert.
I bet that doesn't go in a song very easily. Oh.
Upstairs.
Upstairs?
I was just going to say, I found that the first part very difficult to watch. By the way, you guys but I think what I liked about it, I think that I was seeing echoes of every scary movie that I've seen. And what I liked about it was that it wasn't a scene of female victimization, that there was such a ferocious, evenly fought battle into the end, that it took that image that I saw and kind of and fought it back.
I think that's crucial to playing the scene. I've done it lots of different ways with different groups, but you have to finally, for the scene, for the whole thing to work, for the transformation to work, you have to see the integrity and power of the woman who is slaughtered. And any other way makes her into a cipher and not a person. And that really makes much more mischief than I'd want to introduce just now. Thanks. With that in mind, I want to also thank you again, because that scene, those of you who are in the session have heard me say this, but let me say it again, that scene costs a great deal to do. It is terrifying to watch, but it is far, far harder to do. And it takes learning how to leave your heart somewhere over there so that it doesn't die. And that's true surely for Ani, because to look in a human being's face and see ferocity and know that you will be dead, yes, we're all pretending here, it's not exactly how it works. That's a gift you've given us from your heart. And for Caleb, again, we know each other, two whole weeks. I say Caleb is a deeply gentle man. And for a deeply gentle man to find a way to do what he did with full integrity, never pulling a punch, that is extremely expensive. So both of you have given us a gift from your heart that we could not have done this without. And by the way, he did not hit her. I assume you know that, but thank you very much. Thank you so much. And thanks for the privilege of doing this with these people. The secret is work with geniuses. Thank you.